Five.
It's time to get back to the Matt Wyatt Show.
Live in the studio.
Ba-ba-ba, back. Hour number two on this free-for-all Friday. Just underway. Thanks for tuning in, however you're listening, wherever. Thanks for being a part of the show. Bill's here, I'm here, most importantly, you're here. You can be a part of the show by texting or calling. Hit us up. You can text me on the Country Pleasing text line, 885-ESPN or 885-3776. Or call me on the DaVinci phone, DaVinci Equipment, Madison and in Jackson, 995-1059. I'm here in the Bureau, the Farm Bureau Insurance Studio. Farm Bureau, go with the home team. Pretty soon we'll be watching basketball. I was mentioning that at the end of hour one. Tomorrow, you get a big game. Kentucky goes to Auburn at noon tomorrow. A lot of folks around the country will be watching that one, stuck inside with cold weather, watching that one at noon, national broadcast. A couple of top, I guess Kentucky's ranked 12th, but Auburn's ranked 2, and that'd be a big one. Auburn will have a full arena for that one. And then you get State Ole Miss basketball at 3. You get football at 3:30. You get another big basketball game at 5. LSU goes to Tennessee, and then 7:30 tomorrow night. Yeah, so it's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Well, it'd be more fun if you could just hop in your helicopter and go to all those. But it'd be a lot of fun to stay inside and watch. Let's put it that way. All right, so let me know where you want to go with stuff. We can talk about whatever. I do want to do a couple things here that almost here at the end of the week, one feels like house cleaning and one feels like we are obligated to know this. Not that we necessarily are all that surprised by it. Okay. So one being a transfer portal update. There are a couple of football updates out here. Transfer portal news for Mississippi State, coaching staff news for Ole Miss. I'm going to give that to you. First, I want to read a text. White Denzel. Just because I'm sitting here and have today, and you kind of like me, we're talking about how cold it is. I don't like it. Ready for it to warm up. Somebody even texted earlier this week and said, I'm tired of you talking about basketball already. I'm ready for the grills to fire up, sun to pop out, and play ball. Talking about baseball. So White Denzel's trying to get us all in a good mood. He says, baseball stats that you may like. Greg Maddux faced 20,421 batters in his career, and only 133 of them saw a 3-0 count. It's amazing. Amazing. And then he says, more men have walked on the moon, 12, than have earned runs against Mariano Rivera in the postseason. That'd be 11. Good stuff, Denzel. Appreciate that very much. It's always good to get a baseball nugget on January the 21st. Not all that far removed from the actual playing of college football. Yeah. Are you in a mood? Okay, here is your transfer portal update. It's because this happened today for Mississippi State. It's a interior offensive lineman from Middle Tennessee State named Stephen Lasoya. Stephen Lasoya from Middle Tennessee State is transferring to Mississippi State. And that they put that news out there today. A couple of days ago, it was announced that Mississippi State freshman receiver Theodore Knox, his name's Teddy, Teddy Knox, is transferring out. He's going somewhere else. On the 19th, so a day before that, State picked up a kicker in the transfer portal named Ben Rabin. I'm not sure where he's coming from. Is that Central Arkansas? Is that who that is? Also, a few days ago, they picked up a kicker in the portal named Massimo Biscardi from Coastal Carolina. So a couple of kickers have come in, a receiver left, and now an offensive lineman has come in the last week. since the last update we had on the transfer portal for Mississippi State. So overall numbers, there's quite a few. I mean, when you scroll through the page, it used to be a short page. I'd have to go through the whole deal of counting them up for you in the air. But anyway, that's the most recent update for them. So let me give you one for Ole Miss. Has there been any recent transfer portal stuff? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I saw this. This is several days old. It's labeled the 17th, but so that'd be 4 days ago. A kid from Oxford went to Oxford High School. JJ Pegues is transferring from Auburn back to Ole Miss in his hometown. A couple days before that, they announced Henry Parrish, the running back, transferring from Ole Miss, going to Miami. And then back about a week ago, Tylan Knight transferred from Ole Miss. He's going to Southern Miss. That'd be the most recent updates there. And then the other update, this popped up a little bit ago out here on Twitter. Ole Miss defensive backs coach Terrell Buckley announcing Friday, today, that he is leaving the Rebels coaching staff. That's what the headline says. I didn't click the article. It just says he's leaving. I don't know where he's going. But so they lose another one on the defensive staff. Today, earlier, Texas A&M officially announced DJ Durkin as their new defensive coordinator there for Texas A&M over from Ole Miss. So Ole Miss down a couple coaches on the defensive staff. Everybody kind of moving around. Yeah. So there are your updates. A portal update. A coaching portal update. Right? Should we call that? Should we do that? Should we just call it the coaching portal? It's kind of like what it is. Free agency. All right. Lane Kiffin gave an interview to someone earlier this year, I think at AL.com, gave them, this is only a month and a half ago, and just gave them the quote. Basically said, I'm not quoting him word for word, but his quote said, basically, all these guys in the transfer portal, all they're doing is looking for the best deal, looking to go somewhere they can make the most money. I mean, you got an SEC head coach just came right out and said it. These guys are getting the portal, looking to go where they can get the most money. He said it, not me. He said it. And 24/7 Sports says the number one transfer ranking, team score transfer portal ranking right now, the LSU Fighting Tigers. Number two, Ole Miss. Number three, USC. Number four, Florida State. Number five, Oklahoma. Number six, Texas. Number seven, South Carolina. Eight, Florida. Nine, Arkansas. 10, Arizona. There they are. That's transfer portal rankings according to 24/7 Sports. Now, White Denzel, as I bring that up, Terrell Buckley leaving Ole Miss. He's been their cornerbacks coach, defensive backs coach. The article coming out, Derek Mason leaving Auburn. Now, I think he's going to Oklahoma State, right? Derek Mason is going to Oklahoma State to be their defensive coordinator. Leaves a hold. Auburn is like promoting somebody who's been on their staff and then adding their former player, Jimmy Brumbaugh, to coach defensive linemen at Auburn. That's the way I read it this morning. And Brumbaugh's been everywhere. I think he coached at LSU once. I know he coached at Kentucky some. He was on Tennessee staff under Jeremy Pruitt. Pruitt fired him a couple of years ago. Brumbaugh at one time, I think, was even coaching at East Mississippi Community College in SCUBA. So he's been around, been coaching a long time. He's a former All-SEC defensive lineman player at Auburn. Now he's going to go back to his alma mater and coach on the staff. They elevated somebody to coordinator. That's what I read today. Denzel says, you think Terrell Buckley is going to Auburn to replace Derek Mason? No, I don't. I don't think that's what's going on. Now, he may be going to join Derek Mason at Oklahoma State, for all I know, but I don't think he's going to Auburn. Jason is asking, has State gotten any linemen? Yeah, the one I mentioned today is a lineman. He's an offensive lineman. Interior offensive lineman transferring in from Middle Tennessee State. There's a lineman or two in there. Something like that. So I'd have to go look and see if there are any others, and we can do that later on. All right, so it kind of as it relates to the portal, but not just the portal, but it relates to everything else that's going on in college sports. You need to know this. See what I mean? That's what I meant when I said earlier, right? This feels like something that we all need to know. Just need to know. It's not necessarily earth-shattering. Earlier today, Dan Murphy, ESPN sports writer, staff writer from Indianapolis, covering the NCAA convention. NCAA members voted to ratify a new streamlined version of the association's constitution. Can I put that for you in English? The NCAA has a constitution it operates by. They're going to change it. They made a motion. It passed. 80% of the members voted for it. Puts a stamp of approval on the first part of a two-step process. Two, here it says, significantly reduce the responsibility of the NCAA's national office and to overhaul rules at all levels of college sports during this time. It says, this time, one of the most tumultuous times in the industry's history. Each of the NCAA's three divisions will now start working on revising or creating their own rules to align with the fundamental principles laid out in the new constitution. NCAA President Mark Emmert, who now, after, as they say, ratifying a new constitution for that organization, he is now nothing more than a glorified spokesperson. That's what he is. Mark Emmert says, this needs to be a declaration that we know that now in the coming months, we're going to think afresh about college sports. Now, what language are all these people speaking? Ratifying, we're going to think afresh. Come on, man. Who are you trying to impress? Hate all that crap. Just speak in plain language. Tell us what it is. The new constitution, which was prompted by significant legal and political losses for the NCAA last summer, is designed to simplify what many college leaders have called a complex and outdated rule book. Let me ask you all a question. Leaders. Many college sports leaders. Let me ask you all a question, sports leaders. College sports leaders. What part of the old rule book was complex and outdated, as you say, and what part of it was just getting in the way of progress? Okay, the new one shrinks the board of governors. You won't have as many. They used to have 20 members on this board of governors. They're going to reduce it down to 9. And here's the line that's interesting to me. The whole thing, the new constitution, is trying to ensure that current and former athletes have a larger voice in shaping the future NC2A. Does that include me? I got better things to do. The administrators and committee members who crafted the Constitution hope to reaffirm the NCAA's focus on the, listen to this, quote, the primacy of the academic experience. Let's read that again, shall we? Let's read it again. This is coming straight out of their meeting. They have ratified, going to have a new constitution. Let's read it again. Listen up. The administrators and committee members who crafted the new constitution hope to reaffirm the NCAA's focus on the primacy of the academic experience. End quote. After a summer in which politicians and Supreme Court justices questioned the NCAA's claims that it is unique and distinct from professional sports. Remember what I've been saying over and over again? What business are you in? They got an issue. when little Jane Smith from Louisville, Mississippi, makes a 4.0 at Winston Academy. Goes and applies, is accepted to Mississippi State, and has to pay tuition, get an education, has to pay for the dorm room, and then the apartment, has to buy the books, has to write that tuition check once or twice a year for 4 years, or five, or six. Then what business are you in? Emmert said during the address yesterday, are we spending our resources in a way that emphasizes our core values and helping as many students as we can? That's what's driving frustration and anger both inside and outside college sports. And that's what puts the whole enterprise at serious risk. Are we spending our resources in a way that emphasizes our core values and helping as many students as we can? What's that even mean, Mark? What are you talking about, Mark? Spending our resources. The new constitution for the NCAA states plainly that college athletes should not be paid directly by their schools for athletic participation, but leaves it up to each division, FBS, FCS, Division II, Division III, to decide what education-related benefits athletes can receive from their schools and how those athletes can make money from other sources by selling the rights to their own names, images, and likenesses. It'll be different at each division, right? Won't it? What's going to happen when the FCS division makes up a set of rules about what it does and how it's going to operate different from what the FBS does and how it operates? And Jackson State's a member of the FCS going, hey, hold on. We got name, image, and likeness stuff as big as some of the big boys. And the FCS says, yeah, but the rest of us don't. So these are our rules. Then what? And I still don't know that anybody has anything to worry about until the NCAA proves that it's interested in enforcement in any way, shape, form, or fashion. And I don't think they are. They really never have been. All they do is throw up a show every now and then to try to convince people that they existed. You know what I mean? Like a ghost slams a door every now and then. That's all they're doing. They're just trying to scare you. So as I read you that, now I will read you a tweet on this same day. Okay, in this same 20, please hear this, in this same 24-hour period, that news comes out of the NCAA convention, they have ratified a new constitution. We're going to have less board members. We're going to have less restrictions. Each division can get its own rules the way it wants it. Yeah, buddy, we're with the times, holding up academics. Now this. On Twitter, a bill has been introduced in Iowa that seeks to classify college athletes as employees. A bill has been introduced in Iowa. Comes out this morning. It's in the big house in Iowa, capital. A bill has been introduced in Iowa that seeks to classify college athletes as employees. It would provide that the State Board of Regents, fix the compensation for college athletes in Iowa and entitle them to employee benefits. They want to elect, I'm reading now, elect a president of each of the institutions of higher learning, a superintendent of each of them, a treasurer, secretarial officer for each institution annually, professors, instructors, officers, employees, and fix their compensation, including employees who participate in an intercollegiate sport for that institution. For purposes of this bill in the Capitol in Iowa, an employee of an institution of the State Board of Regents includes an individual who is enrolled at that institution and participates in an intercollegiate sport for the institution. There's more to it, but I must stop now and ask a question. What is the structure? What is the state income tax structure in the state of Iowa? What are they going to fix it as? What are they going to fix it at? If you play football, this is how much you get paid as an employee of the university. What's the tax rate for the state of Iowa? How many schools they have? How much money is that for the state of Iowa? It's just a question. All right, very interesting times, huh? Very interesting times. What do you think? You can let me know. Text me on the Country Pleasing text line, 885-ESPN. I tell you this much, if I'm an employee, I get a job that's fun. In the state with no income tax, where are those? You think that would affect the recruiting if everybody did that? Y'all stick around.
Sports talk. I'm talking way back.
It's the Matt Wyatt Show. Back. Back. Here we go. Hanging out with you on National Squirrel Appreciation Day. It really is. January 21st. I looked it up on National Day. Now, it's two other things that are going around other than Omicron. Two other things that are going around. January 21st is also National Granola Bar Day. Who's a big fan of granola bars? Raise your hand. Bill, you a big fan of granola bars?
I can take it or leave it.
Yeah, just kind of here or there. I started eating those things years ago, back when I played golf all the time. It was actually before Annabeth and I got married, when I was single and had all this time, you know, and I'd spend all the money loosely and just hang out at the golf course all day and play about 36 holes a day, 5 days a week. And you'd make the turn, and the clubhouse had those little, what do they call them? Nature Valley granola bars. There's two of them in a package. I started eating those things. Man, I love them. They're great. But they are messy. One bite, and there's granola crumbs everywhere. Just everywhere. But I like a good granola bar, I guess. I guess the chewy ones would solve that part of the problem, the messiness problem. But today is also National Hugging Day. Now, when you think about it, I'd like to, you know, there's really two kinds of people in this world. One, somebody that does a lot of hugging, and someone that doesn't. You ever know somebody who's a hugger? Like, that's just what they do, is hug you. You know, like, let's say it's somebody that you know. You're not, like, close friends. You know, not relatives. Somebody you know, you see them sporadically. Let's say you run into this person about, twice, three times a year. But this person, you go up, you shake their hand, they're going to hug you. And that's just what they do. Today is National Hugging Day. Now, the real, I think, issue here in reality is 2021 on this day is one that I don't think we can really celebrate National Hugging Day because of coronavirus. Don't be hugging people. Okay? What is it, 6 feet? Whatever happened to that? I don't even hear anything else. I don't hear anything anymore about social distancing anymore. Where'd that go? Hard to hug somebody from 6 feet away. But today is National Hugging Day. Okay, today is also, hey, let's go. All right, here's one for you, Bill. I got one for you in a Wayback Machine before getting back over to sports. Here it is. Okay, on this day in 1978, on American Bandstand, Bill Withers performed this song.
Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be,
come on,
a lovely day.
Man can hold him notes.
I'm telling you, couldn't he? Great Bill Withers, you know, he passed away in 2020.
Seems impossible to fail when someone else instead of.
Okay, that was, you know, an iconic song for Bill Withers. He performed it on American Bandstand on this day, January 21st, 1978. Okay, so that'd be what, 43 years ago? Something like that. I don't know. Four? I don't know. Not counting it up. It's less than that. 42? Two. Four?
I'll stop. Gonna get a six. Gonna get a five.
What do you get? Four? I get seven. All right. But he also had the other great song, Use Me Up. And whenever I think of that song, or whenever I hear that song, I can't help it. All I can think about is the way it was used as the backdrop for an early scene in the movie Anchorman, when Ron Burgundy first met Veronica Corningstone and she walked up, and when they were at a get-together party after she'd been hired as an anchor at the news station.
Do you know who I am?
No, I can't say that I do.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Really?
People know me.
Well, I'm very happy for you.
Can I start over again?
Usually.
Yeah. Yeah, you can hear him singing that. You can hear that song in the background. That's what I, whenever I hear that, that's what I think about. I think about Ron Burgundy looking at her going, do you know who I am? She was about to walk off, see? And he says, do you know who I am? Rumor has it that that's the way.
Kind of a big deal.
Yes. Rumor has it that that's kind of the way Jake is around Jackson. Jake has been rumored to say that before. Do you know who I am? I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. My name's Jake Wimberly. I'm just picking on Jake. Just picking on Jake just for the heck of it. So those are some things on this day. Yeah, the huggers, people that hug. Mason Mason from Weston said, those huggers are irritating, man. Well, it depends, right? I don't know. You know what that feels like? You're kind of going along with it, but the whole time you know, man, I got no business hugging this person, and they got no business hugging me. Why are we hugging? Do they think someone's watching and needs to see this? Or like, anyway, I prefer, you know, I don't mind shaking hands one bit. Don't mind it. It's just, it's sort of tradition. It's societally accepted. It's what it is. Socially accepted, not societally. Socially accepted. But the fist bump that has come out of this whole COVID thing, I'm really okay with that now. I am really okay with now that's becoming the norm, is the fist bump. It's just we aren't there yet. We all know that the fist bump is a possibility in lieu of the handshake. The problem is often we are on a different page and on the same page, because I go in with the fist and you got your hand open. And about the time I realize it and I'm going to change and open my hand for the handshake, you now are closing your hand going with the fist. And it's like it's like two people walking on the same side of the hallway and we can't get out of each other's way. See, so we're not there yet. The only thing that might be an even better step beyond the fist bump that comes out of this is if we could do the forearm to forearm Bass Brothers, like Mark McGuire and Jose Canseco when they were the Bass Brothers with the A's back in the 90s. If everybody just did that, we do elbow, like I've just crossed home plate after hitting a home run and you're the on-deck hitter, and we just, boom, forearm, forearm. That's even better than the fist bump. But we're a long way from that as a society. What kind of show is this? Who am I? All right. Doggone on the country pleasing text line says it could be worse. Jake could ask, do you know who I am? I'm Matt Wyatt. Oh, when Wayne Madkin was the starting quarterback at Mississippi State, 98, 99, there was a young freshman. I can't remember his name now. There was a young freshman on the football team who came in, and he was going around campus telling all these girls that he was Wayne Madkin. Word got back around, and there was a funny scene there a couple of times. And that's what he'd do, though. He'd tell them he was Wayne Madkin and convince them that he was. It's kind of dangerous. See, that was, again, you're talking about late 90s. That was pre-internet. People couldn't just Google you. Look up your Twitter. There was no Twitter. Doggone says, by the way, proper etiquette is you never shake a woman's hand unless she extends it. I'm sure the homecoming queen knew that. Yeah, and I've known that. I didn't learn that until later in life. Doggone. And I will say I've messed that up sometimes, even though I know it. You know what I'm saying? Because it's such a habit. Like, you're talking to one of your buddies and he says, okay, hey, I want to introduce you to my wife. This is so-and-so. And you just, it's like sometimes it's a natural thing to stick that hand out there, even though it's a woman, right? And I've done that a few times. But yeah, usually what you're supposed to wait unless you want. It's almost like now it's really awkward because nobody knows, is this a person who wants to shake hands or not with the whole COVID thing? Some people don't want it. It's like, you know, it's a guessing game. Yeah, and B-Dog too, you're right. So we saw the news of Meatloaf. Meatloaf passed away. You know, play some. I didn't have any Meatloaf.
Yeah, we lost Louie Anderson too, the comedian.
No!
Yeah, he passed away this morning.
What?
68 years old, he had complications from cancer.
What a great comedian. I didn't know that. I watched him most recently in that show, Baskets.
That is a funny show.
It is a funny show. Louis Anderson.
He played an elderly woman.
That's right. He did. He played the part of like the main character's mom. Man, I hate to hear that. All right. One segment left. Let's finish it out strong. Stick around.
He's going all the way. With playoff caliber sports talk, it's the Matt Wyatt Show. 3 minutes for your life right now.
Maybe we can talk all night. But that ain't getting us nowhere.
You ask for a meatloaf, you get meatloaf.
Pop!
And Meatloaf was 74 years old. And died earlier today. Two out of three ain't bad.
That's a great, great record.
Yeah, that's great.
A lot of his story songs. Every song he did tells some kind of story.
Yeah. Which, you know, I think that's not something that just anybody can go do those kinds of songs.
That's
you know,
right.
It takes, there's a little something about the ability to do that.
Plus, he had a 3-octave voice, too.
He was something else, wasn't he?
Amazing.
I saw one clip of him singing a national anthem at a baseball deal, maybe it was a postseason baseball deal. I have to look that one back up. But man, he really raised the roof on that version of that national anthem that he sang. He was a really talented individual.
Of course, we all know Paradise by the Dashboard Light is big, big record.
Okay, and when you Google it, there's all these articles on all these different websites about his passing, and they all reference, it seems like lots of them reference actually different songs. So one of them will say 2 out of 3 ain't bad, and then I'm going to say this one, as if, you know, he had more than one big hit, in other
words. He took
words.
The words right out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Yep. Bad out of hell.
Yeah, that one. Right. I see that one a lot. So he passed away.
That album was amazing. He sold over 80 million records.
Whew.
And
man.
He's the 10th top-selling artist of all time.
Is that right?
Yeah. Geraldo Rivera was on this morning, and he was talking about, he lives in Cleveland. He had a picture of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame behind him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, Meatloaf is not there yet. And he said he should be there now.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
I would guess so. You know what I think about, too? Here recently, in the last 10 years or so, when Trump had the Celebrity Apprentice show.
Mm-hmm. He was on there with John Rich and Molly Matlin. Yeah.
And there was this one episode where they were doing this art project, and he he had finally had enough of Gary Busey.
Yep.
You remember that clip?
Yeah.
Gary Busey, who's living on a different planet than the rest of us already, I don't know. They had these different art supplies. They were having to do something. And he went in there and got Meatloaf's paint for himself. And Meatloaf had finally had enough. And he lost his mind at Gary Busey in that episode. They had to hold him back.
Yep. He came in third in The Apprentice. I think Marley Matlin won it. John Rich was second, and he was third.
Okay. Who, and Marley Matlin, who would that be?
Marley Matlin, she's the deaf actress, you know, that's in a lot of movies.
Okay.
Yeah, she's deaf.
Yeah. Now I remember. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now I remember. I'll be honest, I used to enjoy that show. Okay, the Celebrity Apprentice deal.
It was a good show.
I enjoyed that show. Back when we used to watch shows. Now we just watch, like, Disney movies with Mary Lydia. That's all we watch. And ball games, of course.
Yeah, you miss it.
And the occasional episode of Andy Griffith. I mean, you know, like, I'll be honest. Two ways that we watch Andy Griffith. One is, okay, in the evenings, at about the time we eat supper as a family, one of the local stations up here is finishing its newscast. And the first thing that comes on, I think right after the news, is they show an Andy Griffith episode. And then the other thing is we turn it on a lot of times ourselves on, because we have the whole, you know, every episode of Andy Griffith we've got on Amazon Prime, and we just hit play on it and just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how we...
I think we have one of Andy's people on the phone.
Yeah, hey, speaking of, over on the Davini Equipment phone line on line one, Gomer. Hey, Gomer.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing great. This is a real surprise, surprise, surprise to hear from you.
It's a surprise, surprise, surprise.
Yes, it really is. It really is. Happy New Year. We were just talking about the Andy Griffith Show, Gomer. I'm glad you could join us.
Hey, you know that fella, Meatloaf, I like that song. I would do anything for her, but I won't do that. That's my favorite one.
That's a good one. That is a good one. And Gomer, I know that it. I mean, you yourself, quite the singer. We saw that on the Andy Griffith Show, also.
I know. Shazam! I'm pretty good, aren't I?
You really are. Hey, it's great to hear from you, Gomer. Tell Goober we said hey. Okay.
All right, Matt. You have a good time.
All right.
Surprise.
Hey, old boy did a pretty good job, didn't he?
Yeah.
Hey, Bill, I saw this meme, something that he brought up, that song. I saw this meme, okay, on Facebook the other day. And it says, things we didn't do. Okay, now this is for all of us of a certain age, okay, Bill?
Yeah.
Things we didn't do. Start the fire.
Didn't start the fire.
Shoot the deputy.
Yeah.
Right? Things we did do.
Yeah.
Built this city. We built this city.
Yeah. Starship.
Shot the sheriff. I shot the sheriff. All right. Things we want to do. Break free. Hold your hand. Things we will do, rock you, survive, anything for love. Thank you, Gomer. And things we won't do, that. We won't do that. That was great.
So I see where Meatloaf did the 1994 All-Star Game, wasn't he?
Uh-huh. So I'm sure that's what I saw then when he sang the... National Anthem. Okay, so Chip texted and said, Meatloaf sang the National Anthem at the 94 All-Star Game in Pittsburgh's Three Rivers Stadium. Now, this is ironic. We get a text from someone that says, I don't believe that was Gomer. It comes from someone on the text line named Ernest T.
Ernest T.
I mean, holy cow, boys.
Wait a second.
Hang on just a minute.
Next, we'll be hearing from Barney.
Dadgum, we're just getting the whole gang together. Gomer calls us. Ernest T. texts us to tell us that wasn't Gomer. What are we doing?
And Aunt B's baking a pie.
Oh, man. Let's be honest here just a second. I don't care who.
We're making pickles.
Yeah, which those weren't very good. But no, I was going to say, Bill, is I don't care who you are or where you're from. If you're being honest, just once, you would like to sit down at that table and Aunt B sit that pot of potatoes and that plate of chicken down in front of you the way she would Andy and Opie and eat an Aunt B cooked meal. Wouldn't you love it?
Oh, yeah.
Surprise, surprise, surprise. Ernest T. and Gomer and everybody texting and calling. That was fun. And if you listen to the Chuck Oliver Show around here, that's how they wrap it up every week.
That's how they wrap up.
Yeah, that's how they wrap up. I'm going to wrap up with one more request. A couple of days ago, somebody texted me and requested this. Let's see if I've got the right one. It's a little Jerry Clower moment of him telling a story. I mean, it's a football story from the late, great Jerry Clower. So whoever you are, this goes out to you.
My first big-time game was against Alabama in the Southeastern Conference. Well, my first big-time game was the first one I played in against Tennessee up at Knoxville. But the one I remember the most, we played Alabama my last year at Mississippi State, and they broke out a sophomore running back named Chio Daddy or Duo Duty, one of the two. That's the runnin'est fella I ever seen in my life. He'd stop and start and belly back and slither and double back and all he could run. One time he was gone for a touchdown, and he just turned around and run back through us just to humiliate us. I was playing left defensive tackle. You put your best lineman there. Well, back in them days, most of your football team run to the right. And they put your best lineman right there. Well, Butch Abinger, quarterback for Alabama, took the football and took one step and quick pitched to Chio Duty. Here he come around my side. I busted through, knocked a guard named Holnack down. Stomped him, got old Chio Duty around the waist. Oh, I knew I had him for a loss, because on that Mississippi State side, I could hear them cowbells ringing. And just as I went to sling him to the ground, he slithered. Went straight up in the air like you squeeze a watermelon seed. I fell to the ground on my belly, and Chio Didi come down in my back and just done a little dance all over the top of me. Jumped off of me and commenced to running. I'm laying there on my belly, beating the ground with my fist, squalling. My teammate Dog Owen said, "Jerry, get up and chase him." I said, "Lay still. He'll be back by here in a minute."
That's going to do it for today, man.
That'll do it. Y'all have a great weekend. See ya.